Good afternoon and welcome to Front Range Outdoors. This is Amy Grisak and you are listening on KGPR Great Falls. Today I am flying solo as my co-host Marty Bannon has reached roughly the 200 mile mark on the Arizona Trail. So he is about a quarter of the way done and will hopefully be joining us later this spring. In the meantime, I have the pleasure of speaking with Bob Walker of the Montana Trails Coalition. Thank you so much, Bob, for taking this afternoon and being able to talk with us.
I always love to talk trails, Amy.
It's absolutely. Well, we chatted, a week or so ago when I was researching an article for the Rails to Trails Conservancy. We're talking about the top 10 trails in Montana, and I couldn't believe we haven't met each other in person yet. So we seem to run in the same circles, and that was a delightful conversation. I wanted to continue on the radio for everybody else.
Well, we're going to meet at meetings in the future, I'm sure, Amy, and hopefully out on the trail.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell me about how your love for the trail started? Where did this start, and how many decades have you been working with them and improving them and providing this opportunity for everybody?
Well, like with most of us, it started as a child. My parents were avid outdoorsmen. So we did a lot of hikes, usually to go fishing or hunting. But I fell in love with trails in my high school years. And then I became a trails coordinator. I mean, I'm not going to go through my whole lifespan here, but I became the trails coordinator in another state in the Midwest. And I did that for about 6 years, and we were a very strong rail trail state. So that's where I got broke in on rail trails. And then I was lucky enough in 1991 to be hired by Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks as Montana State Trails Coordinator. And it's been a wonderful experience. What I love the most about it is not just getting out on the trails, but all the people that are involved. Dedicated people, volunteers, professionals. It's a wonderful array of people to work with. And of course, in Montana, how can you beat it? We've got the most beautiful outdoors in the world. We have all kinds of trails, both urban, front country, and back country. So that's kind of been my pleasant life along the way.
Well, I have to absolutely agree with your assessment of both the trails in Montana and the people who use and love them. It is a good combination, that's for sure.
Absolutely, Amy. And you know what? Maybe I'll take this chance to talk a little bit about the Montana Trails Coalition.
Yes.
I happen to be lucky enough to be chair of that organization. And we formed about 3 years ago, and our entire purpose is to share information with the array of trails organizations and individuals who love trails. We identified our first mission is to try to raise more adequate funding for the maintenance of the existing trails and the creation of new opportunities. And so we worked on an array of options for about a year prior to the 2019 session of the legislature. And we drafted a bill and we got a sponsor. Senator Terry Gauthier was our sponsor. We got it through the 2019 session of the legislature.
Excellent.
And it's become what's now called the Montana Trail Stewardship Grant Program. During the session, it was estimated that it would raise about $750,000 in the first year and up to just a hair over $1 million within 5 years. This first year, $1.25 million, and that's investments by the Montana public.
Wow.
I probably should have said what the basis of it is. There's an optional $9 fee on your motor vehicle registration.
Okay.
And it's optional. And it used to be $6. So our proposal was to raise it by $3 up to $9. That $3 increase is what yielded to us in the first year, $1.25 million. It shows the support of Montanans to pay that optional fee.
Well, I know I clicked it happily.
Well, you know, the other beauty of that one is because we work closely with an array of people, and part of that money also supports state parks, the state parks program in the state. and recreational and fishing access sites. So there's benefits that are more broad than that trail in town or that trail in the backcountry.
And that's the thing. I don't think a lot of people realize how much it takes to maintain these things that we love so much. Like you said, whether they're the trails in the front country, the back country, or the state parks or fishing access sites, there's always something that needs to be done.
Well, that's absolutely correct, Amy. And something that oftentimes people don't think about, let's build a trail. Mm-hmm. It can be a community, it can be a private organization, it can be an agency of some kind. So they build the trail. Unfortunately, many times they don't include in their plan how they're going to maintain that trail in the long run. And an example of this is what we call the shared use paths, are those asphalt and concrete trails you see along some of Montana's highways.
Oh, yes.
Many of them, I think there's about 200 miles in the state now, last I heard. And unfortunately, they were built, but they require maintenance. An asphalt trail has to be resurfaced about every 12 to 13 years. Concrete trail about 20 years.
Okay.
Well, since the first ones have been built, like a good example is a trail from basically Lolo down to the Hamilton area. Well, it's suffering from a lack of maintenance now. And there's been an attempt in the last interim, between the last session of legislature and this, they set up an interim committee that studied methods of funding the maintenance of those trails. And to date, they haven't found a good alternative. A little later, we'll talk a little more about one of the issues our current legislature is dealing with, and that's the stimulus money that recently came to us from Congress. We're talking $2.7 billion of money, and that's in addition to the 1,400 individual checks.
Wow.
And so the legislature right now, today, is debating, trying to figure out how to use that $2.7 billion of money. And we have made a suggestion to the legislature under the auspices of infrastructure that they should consider putting some of that money toward maintenance of those shared use paths, because they do have a direct benefit, health benefit, both physical and mental for the public. And so we're hoping we see some of that stimulus money go to maintenance and rehabilitation of those shared use paths.
That makes so much sense. And I mean, and truthfully, if they want to look at it on a very practical level, it's also an economic benefit, because how many people come to Montana for our outdoor recreation opportunities?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the Governor's Office of Outdoor Recreation and the Outdoor Industry Association produced reports over the last 2 to 3 years. And it's hard for a lot of people to understand this, but outdoor recreation, the entire world of outdoor recreation in Montana, brings more to the gross product of Montana than agriculture does.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It surprised me when I saw the studies.
Yeah. And we love it and live it.
Yeah, we're the lucky ones, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. But it makes sense, because you talk to so many people and Montana is kind of that bucket list goal that they want. Those who love hunting or fishing or hiking or any of these outdoor sports, it's like, oh, Montana. And they want to come out here.
Well, I was one of them. I told you I started out as a trails coordinator in a state in the Midwest. And I went to grad school in Idaho, so I'd spent a couple of years in the mountains. And I always wanted to get back. Every summer, my vacations were to Montana, backpacking and camping. And in the winter, it was skiing and a little snowmobiling even. And luckily, I fell into the job, luckily, back in 91. So I'm a happy Bob.
I bet. Now, how can people become involved with the Montana Trails Coalition and keep up and lend a hand whenever necessary?
Well, you know, let me mention to you who makes up this coalition. It surprises a lot of folks. We have 13 statewide and regional trails organizations. Their members sit on the board of directors of the Trails Coalition. The best way I can describe it is it ranges from the Montana Trail Vehicle Riders Association, the Dirt Bike ATV and Side-by-Side Riders, to the Montana Wilderness Association.
Excellent.
The whole idea, and it works, and we've seen this work around the state, you bring people together from an array of interests. sit around the table, get to know each other face to face, and learn to listen from each other and learn from each other. And it works. The Senate Bill 24, the one I talked about earlier that gained us $1.25 million, was a result of that level of cooperation.
And you would think that some of these groups may not see eye to eye on everything, but ultimately they have the same goal.
The thing is to find common ground. And that's why many of these coalitions are working like they are. But you have to have people who I always say are willing to learn from each other and listen to each other.
This is great. It's nice to see something like this working and moving forward.
Matter of fact, you asked how people can find out more or learn more. I do an email service, I'll call it, for the Trails Coalition. And during legislative session, I send out weekly recreation and parks legislative reports. And then when the session isn't going on, about every 2 weeks, I'll send out information about trails and recreation training sessions that are available, meetings that are going on, new trails that are being constructed, or new issues that have been identified. So if people want to receive that email, you or I can give them my email address, Amy.
Okay. Well, if you wish now, you sure can share it.
Okay. It's B-O-B with an underscore after that. M is in Montana. T is in town. Trails. And it's at outlook.com.
Perfect. And that way people can send you a note and be kept in the loop with everything that's happening.
Absolutely. And that's really, like I said earlier, the Montana Trails Coalition mission and purpose is to connect with the trails interests around the state, communicate, and find out what needs to happen next. Because we found out in the last 3 years, there's always a need for more cash, seems like. Mm-hmm. And there's always new ways, new techniques of maintaining trails, developing trails that come up. And this is a good way for us to share information and to hear from trails interests around the state.
Oh, that sounds great.
You know, let me chat a little bit about one project. It's a national project, actually, that we're involved in. And it's called the Great American Rail Trail Project.
Yes.
And it's being sponsored, or the leadership is from the Rails to Trails Conservancy, which is a national organization in the D.C. area. But they put on training sessions all over the country. But 25 years ago, I was involved with them. And their dream was to have a rail trail that went from the East Coast to the West Coast. And it's finally happening. And Montana, they identified as a bit of a challenge because Montana missed out on a lot of the abandoned railroad rights of way. Yep, so it was in the mid-80s. And that's when many of the big abandonments happened, was in the 80s. And so Montana kind of missed out. But so what we're doing is, and when we call it the Great American Rail Trail, it's not all going to be on rail, abandoned rail lines. It's going to involve roads. It's going to involve trails that might be in the Forest Service or BLM lands, national parks. It'll be a connector from east to west. In Montana, at this point, the route that's been identified would come up from Yellowstone to Livingston. And there's an association in Livingston that's working on an abandoned railroad right away in that valley. And so that's going on right now. But then along the route, we have Bozeman, which has a very active trail system. Butte, which has a trail system that actually connects with an abandoned right away to the east side of Butte. Anaconda has been working on these kind of trails for years. And Three Forks, the Headwaters trail system, they started, well, I'm going to say roughly about 25 years ago, thanks to their mayor, and they developed a system in town that actually connects to the Headwater State Park. So it's a beautiful connector, and it's all along this planned route of this trail. Another new one that I just found out about within the year is Powell County, the Deer Lodge area. They're working on, and already have part of it done, a rail trail from Garrison to Three Forks.
Okay.
They're actually in the process now of extending that to connect with the Grant Corps Ranch, a federal site. The beauty of this is we're connecting important sites communities along the way. And that's the whole purpose for our whole mission and trails is connections with locations and with people. Missoula has a great system going on, but the exciting thing in the western side of the state, you've all heard about the Hiawatha Trail over on the Idaho side.
Very popular.
It basically goes over to Coeur d'Alene, and in fact, they're making connections. They'll be able to make a connection clear across the state of Washington. But the exciting thing for Montana is the abandoned right-of-way, basically from the pass 35 miles down toward Missoula. It's called the Route of the Olympian, and much of it's already happened. They're still dealing with some railroad bridges that need work, and there's some private inholdings, not too many left now, but about 35 miles up called the Corridor of Discovery, and the city of Missoula and the Bicycle Club is working on making the connection from Missoula to the Route of the Olympian. And so this is so cool because we're going to have that connection on a rail trail type project. It'll involve a few roads down in the Missoula area, clear over to Coeur d'Alene. So this is exciting stuff.
That is phenomenal. And this is Front Range Outdoors on KGPR, and this is Amy Grisak, and we are talking about trails and connections with Bob Walker of the Montana Trails Coalition. So the Route of the Olympians, this is happening in the near future. And so how long, though, has this been going on? How long since we've got to this point? How many decades has it taken? Because one thing you and I talked about was patience when it comes to putting these trails together.
That's absolutely true. As almost any trail, people have been involved in creating them have had to be patient. It's never easy. Rail trails are especially challenging. The Route of the Olympian and the Route of the Hiawatha, it started 30 years ago.
Wow.
About 27 years ago, I had the opportunity to ride on a mountain bike through the St. Paul Pass Tunnel, which is a 1.6-mile tunnel, which is improved now. You can actually ride a bike through it.
Without the water and everything else.
Oh, at the time, yeah, we were riding mountain bikes through anywhere from no water to 12 inches of water with a flashlight taped to the handlebars. And then we rode down what is now the Route of the Hiawatha, and none of the bridges were improved at the time. Is before all the side rails were put up.
Okay.
And so I got to do that back before the Route of the Hiawatha or Route of the Olympian was even mentioned.
That is neat.
How we did this was it was a volunteer group from the area, a bunch of trail enthusiasts, and the USDA Forest Service working together to put this idea together. That's typically how it has to happen, is the local publics showing an interest and getting it done and taken part. And it's just exciting. It's exciting, and it's exciting people involved.
It is. And it's that energy and momentum that keep these projects moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the word patience has to go along with it. But there's an inactive right-of-way from Helena to Great Falls. And the railroad has not used it in at least 15 years now. So they're using it for trail car storage. Well, there was a group in Helena that got together, would have been about 15, 16 years ago now. And we came up with we're calling it the Corridor of Discovery.
I like it.
And we put together a plan. One of our people, Doug Monger, who was the state parks administrator at the time, worked with the city council in Great Falls and the city council in Helena to get their support. He had a close connection with the railroad. Unfortunately, before you can create a rail trail, the railroad has to formally abandon the railroad, and the railroad company has chosen not to abandon it yet.
Okay.
So why I keep saying patience to our people in the area is we have a plan, we'd have to do some work, but we're ready to jump on it if the railroad ever decides to file a notice to abandon. I had the policy director from the Rail Trails Conservancy in Washington, D.C. here visiting about 3 years ago. And I drove her up along the route, and she was just amazed at what this could be because, you know, it involves the right-of-way along the Missouri River.
That would be stunning.
Up through the canyon, connects six communities. It has all the features necessary for what might be one of the top 10 rail trails in the country.
It absolutely, I can just, I've driven down that route so many times and we float the river. And yeah, that would just be a premier route. We need to maintain the momentum. And if any Great Falls folks want to be involved, they need to be sure to touch base with you at the Montana Trails Coalition, I assume.
Absolutely. You just mentioned the Great Falls folks. There's an interesting bill in the legislature this year that came from a group in Great Falls. It would be called the Montana 406 Trail.
Yes, I'm actually involved with that one.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's going to pass through the legislature too.
I hope so.
The whole idea, why don't you talk a little bit about it, Amy?
Sure. It's Marty Bannon, my co-host here, who's hiking in Arizona right now. He's hiked the Continental Divide Trail and his mountain bike from Banff to Mexico. And so during his adventures, he decided Montana needed a trail, just like the Colorado Trail in Arizona has one and so many other states. And so he started working with some others and basically roughly penciled it out. And it's linking existing public trails, trails on public lands right now. And so we still need to survey roughly 700 miles of it, and some will be walking county roads, especially north of the breaks in that area. Like you said, it's a way to showcase Montana and to get people out. We'll be utilizing about 538 miles of the Continental Divide Trail, but then it starts veering east and comes up through the Middle Fork of the Judith and to Fort Benton. And that's where people actually hop on the river for 149 miles. And then they'll be out again. It's going through the breaks and coming out Fort Union. It'll be quite the project.
It's called HJ15. It looks like it's going to be accepted and approved by the legislature.
I hope so. We've passed the House and Senate Natural Resource Committees and the House floor. And now we're just waiting on a date for the Senate floor. And we'll watch and wait. I went down to testify for the Senate Natural Resource Committee, which was quite the experience, my first time doing that. They gave us the thumbs up. So I was tickled to death. And I think a lot of people do realize the benefits of a trail like this in Montana. Like you've said, the mental and physical health of people, and then also the economic. We have some phenomenal hiking and just, the mountains get all the love. And I absolutely adore the mountains and glacier and everything. But people don't realize how spectacular it is over here as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the River's Edge Trail in Great Falls, I'd call it one of the premier urban trails in the state of Montana.
Absolutely. Even the Northwest, there's been so many areas that I'm like, we're better back home.
Oh, well, I can remember, I'll make this quick, but when I first started here 30 years ago, I went up and met with Doug Wicks with the River's Edge Trail, and we spent a whole day, and I was just so impressed. Everybody was learning back 30 years ago. And that, I still consider the River's Edge one of the premier trails in urban trails in Montana.
But like you said, trails are an organic thing. They change, which is good.
Well, it's kind of what I was talking about when I was talking to Montana Trails Coalition earlier. There's new technologies developing all the time. New technologies involved with developing trails, rehabilitating trails, maintaining trails. And that's the beauty of it. We're learning all along. And we could talk about specific trails for the next 12 hours.
I know.
You asked me to talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening in the legislature.
Yes, we have a few more minutes. So if you would, that'd be great.
Okay. Well, there were a couple of bicycle bills that had been introduced and made it through the House. One was HB 184 that we called the Bicycle Safety Bill. And it included bright clothing and included bicycles only riding on the right-hand half of the right lane, lights, light requirements, and so on. It also had a passing. Bike Walk Montana has been trying to get a safe passing law through for the last three sessions, and that's vehicles passing bicycles. It was in there, but the bicycle community really didn't care for some of the other restrictions or requirements that were in the bill. And so that one was tabled about 2 weeks ago. So the bicycle safety bill is done. And the other one that was receiving mixed emotions from a lot of people was the what we call the electric bicycle bill.
Yes.
It was HB 281. Most groups supported it on urban hard surface trails. And people were nervous. Some wanted to be called electrically motor-assisted bicycle.
Oh,
they wanted
okay.
the term motor in there. That was a concern. The other concern was is the natural surface trails in what we call the urban interface and in the backcountry that are designated as non-motorized.
Okay.
It was a real hot issue, and I just found out early this week that it also was tabled. So the e-bike bill did not pass. So now what we have primarily is like in Missoula, Helena, they are allowed on the urban hard surface trails. Pretty much leaves it up to the jurisdictions to decide what they're going to do with it. Inconsistency was another issue because, you know, the vast majority of non-motorized trails in Montana are on federal lands. And both the Forest Service and the BLM still call them motorized. And they have to take an action to allow them on non-motorized trails. So there was a problem with consistency with the bill too. So what we proposed was that they establish an interim study committee so that we can bring people together to seriously talk through the issue of e-bikes and come up with something that is agreeable to most and that's rational for the next session of the legislature.
That makes sense. So it's more the education and evolving.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then earlier, we talked a little bit about the stimulus money. Well, that's being debated right now. And so we've also suggested to a few legislators that they consider some of that money for, my suggestion has been primarily for the maintenance of shared use paths, because they're talking infrastructure as a part of the money.
That'd be great.
It could be used for many other things too. And the other one that's a big one, and the recreational marijuana initiative that the public passed last November. It would institute a 20% tax on the sale of recreational marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that initiative, it actually suggested that 49% of that money go for Habitat for Montana, which is mainly for purchasing conservation easements and leases, but also 4% to the Trails Grant Program, 4% to state parks, 4% to watchable wildlife. 4% doesn't sound like much, but in fact, it would raise roughly, rounding off, about $1 million for each of those programs a year. Wow. Governor Gianforte's initial budget proposal didn't include any of that. And so some of us were contacting our legislators.
Okay.
You know, I always tell the people, be involved. The world is run by the people who show up.
You're right.
And it can be either, this year it's tough to testify in person because of the COVID situation, but they've given all kinds of alternatives.
Yes, you can still do a Zoom testimony.
Do that virtually or just, and let me guarantee you, emails to the legislators are easy to do and they read them. And what's the proof of that is that right now the proposed marijuana tax bill would still include the 4% for trails, state parks, and watchable wildlife. So those of us who've been contacting our legislators apparently have had an impact.
That's good.
We're still trying to convince them to put some money toward Habitat Montana, but at this point in time, that's not in there.
Well, this is good to know, Bob, and it looks like we are rolling out of time right now. So I want to thank you once again. This is Amy Grisak on Front Range Outdoors, and we're speaking with Bob Walker from the Montana Trails Coalition. So thank you once again, Bob, for joining us today and giving us so much great information and inspiring us to hit the trails this spring.
Thank you, Amy, and I'll look forward to seeing you out there.
Absolutely. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.